Don't fake it, just bust a move. This joint is gonna get you in the mood.
Oh my God. The Koi Pond, it's another episode. I made it, Mom. You know why? Because my guest just got deep. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, I did.
This is when you really enjoy your job the most, is when you can actually speak to some of the guys that motivate you to work hard in this industry.
Absolutely.
This is Hollywood, yo.
Well, you're motivating me, bro.
Come on.
Congratulations on everything. I don't know if we should be talking so soon about it.
Not yet.
Sure, you got to finalize stuff.
Yeah, we got to finalize and
but
sign
you're
it.
Investing in yourself,
yes,
right? And
yes,
you're making things happen. And
yes.
I'm telling you, those are the people who win in Hollywood.
Look, there's guys in this business that'll take the paycheck and buy the nice chain and the nice watch.
Yeah.
You know what
yeah.
I mean? And then there's the guys that go, hey, I think I can double up on this.
Yep. Yeah, double
and,
up.
And that's what you gotta do, man. You gotta sometimes just double up and just believe in yourself, believe in your own product, because no one's your biggest fan better than you.
Agreed. Agreed.
You know what I mean?
Yo,
you can sell yourself as much as you want, but no one's going to like you more than you.
And that's the other thing. It's like, you know, I see people get frustrated because no one will invest in their vision.
Mm-hmm.
And like, what have you invested in your vision, bro?
Exactly.
You know, what how much sweat equity do you have in that vision?
Oh, I like that. Make a t-shirt.
Right.
Make a shirt. That's how much sweat equity?
Yes.
It's because true. That's just as important as liquid.
I agree, bro.
You know what I mean? Like,
I
look, and look, and we can keep going, but I haven't even said your name yet, but I think everyone knows by your voice who it is.
And that's the new game. It's the sweat equity is constantly being undermined by studios.
Hands down.
So they take the lion's share, right?
Mm-hmm.
But this, what's happening with digital, the game's changing.
The game is changing, man.
And it's exciting me.
This social media game is ridiculous right now. I mean, you got kids that are like 18 that are already doing something that took us 20 years to get.
Going
to Kinko's and trying to Xerox headshots so you had enough to hand out.
That's my life.
That's my life. Yeah. Look, we got Romany Malco in here, man.
Yeah, what's up? What up?
Kidding me?
Dude, you know, I just heard.
I'm sorry for the excitement in my voice, but
no.
I'm pretty sure my listeners are going to be like, yo, Joe's a little too hype. But like, yo, this is what it deserves.
I love it, dude. I really appreciate it. And I just want to say I was walking in here and here's what I heard. I heard, oh, man, Joe was the nicest dude ever. But I went to a comedy club and it's the best time and saw him do his stand up. And it's the best time I had in a comedy club in 15 years.
Oh,
and I was like, oh, so he goes from like this really nice guy by day, beast by night.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that's a huge compliment, dude. Huge compliments,
Thank
actually.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, that's my passion is stand-up, man. I always wanted to do stand-up. When I saw Eddie Murphy, Delirious.
Don't say no more.
It was over.
Say no
Imagine
more.
Being half white, half Asian, and asking your mom for a red leather suit at 11 years old.
That's the angle you went to? Wow, that's funny. I just wanted the ice cream.
I didn't want that. I wanted that red leather outfit, Mom.
That's funny. I ended up having to wear that red leather outfit, by the way, in a movie with Mike Myers.
I remember that.
I'm like, what?
Dude, Romany, you're such an inspiration for a lot of actors out there because you're that cat that's in everything.
You know,
you're that cat that, like, it seems like. See, if people don't know the Hollywood game like we do, especially
right.
me, because
right, yeah.
I'm the one that looks, you know, when I go in for an audition and then I see someone like you walk down the hallway and I'm like, man, why is he here?
I don't know. He's not even Asian.
Why is he walking up?
No, he's got a little Southeast Asian in him, actually.
But you know what I'm saying, though,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, no, I totally get it. Yeah.
And I know you, of course, on another level, even though it's like you're already a shoo-in with the cats that you're working with. Mm-hmm. You still got to go in and give your A game at the audition.
If I tell the truth, I haven't auditioned in a long
really?
Time.
Really?
I don't think I've auditioned. When is the last time? I think since 40-Year-Old Virgin. I might have auditioned.
It to you, huh?
I might have auditioned about three times since 40-Year-Old Virgin.
But see, even that alone.
Yeah.
See, I audition all the time. But I remember going in mm-hmm. and reading for something, and then here's Anthony Anderson just with his eyes closed, leaning up against the wall.
Oh, right.
You know what I mean? And I'm
yeah.
like, and he wasn't thinking of his lines. He was literally asleep.
I remember the days, man.
I know he got it. You know what I'm
yeah,
saying? Like,
yeah.
And I knew I was up all night trying to figure out my lines and blah, blah, blah. And then I look to my left. I'm like, that's Anthony.
But
he's got it. I'm going to leap.
That's how the game is now. But I do have a little secret trick. And I will admit that I felt the same way when I was going. But my one little trick is that most people go in the room mm-hmm. to get the job.
Yes.
Right? And I've been blessed, you know, with Jesse Paris, with Judd Apatow, with actually with quite a few people to sit on the, you know, on the cast, to sit on the opposite side of the, you know, the casting process mm-hmm. and see people coming in. And yeah. everything from commercials to movies. And you know what? Rarely anyone comes in with the attitude of, what am I going to give?
Yeah.
As opposed to, what am I going to get? Mm. When you take into consideration that these people have been sitting there all day, these people have been probably looked at a few hundred people.
Yeah.
You go, you know what? Let me give them something.
Yeah.
And with just that mindset alone, it can influence so much of what you do in regards to your performance and in your audition in the room.
I love that already.
And it really does change the dynamic. And that was kind of what I would do when I was in, you know, constantly in the audition process.
Mm-hmm.
Judd gave me the best advice, though. He said, Rom, after 40 Old Virgin was a hit, he was like, listen, don't go doing every job, okay? Don't get involved with something that isn't quality, because you'll end up back in the rat race.
Mm.
And which was, he was basically trying to protect me from, you know, being the dude with the hit movie who's had the hit movie in his belt, but now he's back to auditioning again. Because once Hollywood gets wind of that, then everyone expects it of you.
Mm.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So anyway.
I love it.
That's my two cents.
I love it. And I think everyone that's listening, you should really think about that, because yeah. it's like you can do what everyone else is doing
exactly.
in this maze, or you can try and find another
exactly.
route.
Because everybody's trying to find maybe if you're savvy enough, you know, I got to find a unique way to deliver these lines. I got to find a unique perspective to portray this character. But just a unique attitude
yeah.
of, what can I give you?
Yeah. Now,
how can I give you a break? Yeah. I'm going to sacrifice my audition so that you feel like you've had a break in the day. And quite often, that has actually been what helped me get my job or my callback.
Yeah. Well, mm-hmm. I'm just saying, the way you walked into the studio made my day.
Thanks, man.
Because you can really feel the energy with people. Like, you know what I mean?
Like, your energy was off the chain. I was like, whoa. I mean, you made me. Sometimes I'm sitting there going, am I on my way in or am I on my way out? But when you walk into a room and get greeted by Joey the way I got greeted,
yeah.
you are definitely on top of the food chain at the moment. You are definitely the big fish in the pond at the moment.
Hey, look.
Or second biggest.
I had to live up to that suit, man. You know what I mean? You can't come in. That green hasn't been around since, like, I have to say 92.
Say it, and I'm going to wear a blue tonight that's going to blow people's minds.
Yeah,
and
it's
easily a 72 blue.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's a 72 blue. That definitely, I can see that as like an old Monte Carlo.
Exactly.
Like, you know what I mean? Oh,
you know what? You're visual.
Yeah,
visual dude.
Man. Yep,
and
you see
right.
what I'm saying? And when that came out, everyone was buying that car.
Dude, when
they're like, yo, that's a new green. Chevy got a new green.
I was thinking the same thing when I put this on. I was like, and we have other suits as well. And I was like, wow, these are vintage colors,
mm-hmm.
you know, with modern cuts.
Yes.
So I'm loving it.
Yeah,
you
are definitely money. I got Romany Malco in, you know, in the studio right now. And Almost Christmas comes out today.
It does. Well, it's actually, the premiere is today. You guys get to see it on the 11th, which is 3 days after elections.
I love to be at that level where you say you guys.
No.
I get to see it today. You guys get to see it 4 days from now.
Wait, when did this air?
It's airing.
Oh, we're airing right now.
Next Thursday.
Oh, it's not till next Thursday?
Yeah, because we got Vinny today.
Wait. No, we got. Oh, wait. No, it airs November 11th, anyways.
Yeah, so you're
so,
right.
Okay, that's good.
No,
that's good.
Today. No, so correction. You were right.
I'm right.
Yes, sorry.
Today. See how Romney does this? Romney comes in and tries to run our show. But see, that's what he is. He goes into the audition room and does an audition.
Right.
He gives them something. He comes into the studio, becomes the producer. You see what I mean?
I want to work for you, bro.
Adding value.
He has many hats, and they're all in this color green.
I like that, adding value. Exactly, yes. All my green hats, my man. You know, yes,
it's all about that. Ronnie,
you know, I'm surprised that you're cracking on the suit.
I was cracking
on the shirt.
Look
at this shirt. This is not, a little Miami Vice.
Yeah, that is Miami Vice right there.
All right.
That's Miami Vice. But what I love about it, it's fitted Miami Vice.
Yes. Yeah, you're right.
Right?
Yeah,
I'm telling you, but then you threw the tie on like anyone can see the buttons.
You know, see, exactly. But no, but the tie is to break up. There was just too much pattern.
Yeah, there's too much pattern.
You gotta
break it in half.
Exactly. It's like if there weren't that pink in the middle of vagina, it would look strange.
No, it would be weird.
It would be.
It would be weird.
It'd almost be like it was staring back at you.
It would look like you'd have to rub your feet on it before you go in the house.
Oh, yeah.
Does that say welcome? We need to put a pink stripe down this. Why are you taking it there? It's clean show, Romney.
My bad. I so fucked up. Okay, let's do it.
No, I'm kidding. Romney, this movie is Almost Christmas.
Yeah.
And if you guys want to see the trailer, you can go to almostchristmasmovie.com or even go to romanymalco.com, and it'll take you all the different avenues you need to go to see everything that this guy has done in Hollywood. Almost Christmas. I love the fact that you have a great ensemble. And the one guy that I love, of course, next to you, is J.B. Smooth.
Oh, yeah.
Now, can I tell you about my grind? Please, just, I know this is about you, but let me just give you just 3 minutes of my grind.
I will fuck around and turn this into your interview. Okay. So be careful.
Okay. All right. You're going to love my grind. You're going to probably respect me for this. When I first started stand-up, which 27 years ago is when I started.
Wow, look young.
I met JB when I did the Apollo, which I won, Showtime at the Apollo in 1998.
What?
And Ian Edwards is the one that introduced me to JB. And JB has always been a sweetheart. From the minute I met him, he was always like, Joe Coy, yo, you so funny, man. The day I met him from Ian, he just took me under his wing.
Yeah.
Like, I was an up-and-coming comic. You know, he told me where to go eat. He got me a couple gigs. Next thing you know, I'm on this thing called the Black Comedy Tour. I'm not even joking. It was called the Black Comedy College Tour, and I was opening up for acts like Monique. Wow. I was opening up for just everyone that was big on BET's Comic View at the time.
Got it.
And JB was one of those cats. And I remember JB was like, Joel, don't eat that McDonald's. It'll kill you. Eat a sandwich. Get something nice, yo.
That's a good impersonation.
Fried
I just
stuff.
Spent the last three or four days with him. Yeah.
You gonna eat that fried stuff? Kill you.
Good for him, dude.
And then he's like, if you're on the road, don't eat all. And next thing you know, I go back to Vegas is where I was living, and no one would hire me in any of the hotels, so I rented out a theater. It was called the Hunt Ridge Theater. And it was like $1,000 of my money. I went and got sponsors to pay for that. Then I made tickets at Kinko's, and I put sponsors on the back of that. And then I promised these guys hotel rooms and blah, blah, blah. And it was all the guys I met, and JB was one of them.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, JB, please, man, do my show, man. Headline this show, blah, blah, blah. This is before Curb anything, man.
Copy that.
This is before anything. And I remember selling him, like, you don't understand. This is the funniest man I've ever seen get on stage.
Hey,
guys.
Yo, he's
You'll
so dude.
Never see anything like this. Now, imagine, this is 98-ish, and I'm telling people about this. Yep. And I'm like, you guys, you got to come see it. I was like, well, the tickets were $7.50. It was $15 a ticket, but I did 2-for-1.
Yes, nice.
Just to sell the ticket. I'm like, come on, you guys, you got to see this before he blows up, man. Yo, and I got it all on tape, man. And I'm telling you, JB... The man of his word, man, drove down and did my show and all that. And that's that always been that guy. He's always been that guy.
Time out.
Extra love for that guy.
Time out. Stop. So you said, let me tell you about my hustle.
Yeah.
Your impersonation of JB, damn good. I just spent the last 4 days with him. Right? We flew together, the whole deal. We just do our press. We're paired in the press junkets. Yeah. How was the turnout?
The turnout sold out.
Sold out. Yeah. My brother sold it out.
Every single show, every single ticket.
No one would hire him, so he put together his own show and sold the bitch out.
Yeah.
Just want to rub that in. I want the audience to know, just get a taste of what it takes. Okay.
Because no one was going to hire me at that time.
Right, because of?
Because it's just like I had no name. I had no TV credit. I had nothing.
Gotcha.
So I was like, all right, well, then I'll just do this on my own then. And that's what I did.
So what'd you do? You bought radio spots or you just...
Yeah, I would hustle radio spots. I would go and solicit sponsors. I had an oil change company. His name is Paulo Gatta. I still remember his name. He owned the auto place. And he gave me 2-for-1 auto oil changes. And right. I put that on the back of the ticket. He gave me $1,000 to do that.
Oh, that's
so my ticket turned into a coupon.
Oh, that's dope.
You know what I mean?
Man,
yeah, man.
I like this
and then I hung his banner on the front of my stage.
Boom.
But I had to do it because I was like, I can't come out of this pocket. I had a part-time job. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I want to believe that this turned over some business for Mr. Legata.
You know what else I did? I went over to Dada Footwear. You remember Dada Footwear at the time? They had Dada hats, the little tight
I don't
hats
remember.
That you wore. But Biggie used to wear, LL used to wear. It was like the tight-fitted hat. But anyways, Dada Footwear. It was like Carl Kanai and all that. It was during that era. And I went there, little Asian dude, and his name is Lance Simpson. He was the owner of Dada Footwear.
Remember
Carlos
his name.
Carlos Perot was the marketing guy. He's still my best friend.
Wow.
To this day. And they hooked me up with a sponsorship for that.
That's beautiful, dude.
So nothing funnier than seeing my white stepdad and my Filipino mom rocking Dada Footwear on their feet. And Dada Supreme shirts.
That is so hot. Listen, y'all.
Yeah.
I'm just keeping it real, man. the game hadn't changed much. From what he's describing, the game hasn't changed much. It really takes your hustle.
It really does.
Yeah. I mean, look, I remember being signed to a management company. I'm not going to name them, but I sat there for 5 years and I watched people who would come after me go on to get movie deals and TV shows and all of that. And the common denominator was the reason that I wasn't and they were is because they were self-generators.
Mm.
Bottom line, they were creating their own opportunities, whether it was a web series they had created or they had stand-up and had written a couple concepts that they thought they would, you know, that they
that
could
they
sell.
Would, they yeah. would shine in.
Exactly.
Instead of waiting for it.
Instead of waiting for it. Absolutely. You know, and I started late in the game and I wasn't really hip to it like that, but I was being told, Joe, like, you got to write, you know, so.
What was it for your first, Judd Apatow was your first break, correct? Well, 40 you know, year old?
Yeah, I think 40 Over was my first break I rolled. Like, I started
out.
You
crushed out, that movie.
Man, thank you so much.
You crushed that movie. And I just love it. And then from then on, it's just been nonstop with you, man.
Yeah, you know, people think that I've been in a lot of stuff. It's not that I've been in a lot of stuff. I just feel like I've been lucky to be involved in a lot of hits.
Yeah.
You know, if I go through it, including this movie, I feel like I've gotten one after the other, from 40 Old Virgin to Weeds to Baby Mama, Blades of Glory, Think Like a Man.
Yeah.
You know, I think I skipped over something, but whatever. The long and short of it is I've been lucky to be in those types of things that get a lot of rotation even after they leave the theaters. And, you know, I've actually been quite selective.
Your movies live on after the movies.
That's what I'm saying.
Legendary movies, man, and it's like cult favorites.
Yeah, I would definitely say that Weeds, 40 Old Virgin are two classics. I personally think that, you know, Think Like a Man fits into the classic category.
Oh, yeah.
It's just such an undeniable movie. And I think that this project, Almost Christmas, and I'm not saying it because I want to promote it. I'm saying it because I genuinely believe it. I believe that this project will be one as well. Everybody was so, JB was so good in it.
And of course you.
No, you guys
crushed it.
Thank you.
I mean, I haven't seen it, but I know you did. Yo, this is one thing I want to tell everybody out is your character ability. All right?
Yeah.
And I want to do this with you because I think it's funny.
Okay.
But TijuanaJackson.com.
Yes. PrisonLogic.com is a better way to, you know, remember it.
Okay.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
PrisonLogic.com.
Yeah.
Just go on, man. Like, where are you from?
Where am I from?
Yeah, what are you? What is your ethnicity?
Okay. Whew. Okay, so listen, man. My family's Trinidadian.
Okay.
And if you don't know this, Trinidad is probably, in fact, it's been called the most diversified country in the world.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little island in the Caribbean. It sits at the tip of South America.
Yeah.
We have a huge South American influence. We also have a huge East Indian influence, right? We have, in fact, I think that English and Bengali may be the two most spoken languages on the island.
Okay.
We have a huge Chinese population, Dutch population, Lebanese population.
So there's a mold
native
of all kinds.
Arawak Indian population. It's just it's the real deal melting pot, and the people look like it.
Yeah.
So my dad is East Indian and Black Venezuelan, and my mother is Trinidadian by way of East and Central Africa. So that's what you're looking at
That's where the green suit came from.
Exactly. So, you know, you're basically looking at an African brother. According to my DNA test, I am 62%. East and Central African, and I am 13% Southeast Asian, and there's like 25% of European blood, which I'm assuming hails from the Spaniard side of my family.
You're the first person to ever break it down in percentage.
Yo.
Especially specific percentage, where he said 13. That's very specific.
Yeah, dude. You know what?
He had vials with blood in it. And he's like, this is 13% right here for sure.
I did it. I really did. I did the DNA test.
No.
I swear. I wanted to know. I wanted to know what the hell was going on.
Yeah.
You know?
Like Joe.
Yeah, sing exactly. It. Yeah,
I want to know what's going. Exactly. Do you have that song? I want you to play that right now.
Joe,
you know, the R&B singer. Joe. I want to know.
See, Nick is the worst producer.
Am I getting the melody right, though? I want to know what's going on. I don't know what the words are. Yeah, that's it. That's the one. So you're a Joe fan.
Come on.
Man, that dude's a beast, man.
Can I bring it way back?
Go ahead.
I had Joe's first album.
Oh.
In my car, I had Joe's first album, 1991, he came out.
See, this is the thing about Filipinos. Filipinos got so much soul.
So much soul.
Dude, I always said that. I used to crack jokes and be like, no, I'm not lying. Like, I know Filipinos that are blacker than me, bro.
Yes.
You
yeah.
know what I'm saying?
They're black.
I lived in Long Beach, California.
Yes.
You know what I mean now,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yo, do you think they're cholos or not?
No.
They're Filipinos.
Straight. You
Filipinos
know
with khakis.
Yeah, Filipinos with khakis. And I always found like, you know, like when I first came here, I always found like the Filipino women just had, they got some booty.
Yeah.
And the Filipino women got booty.
It's because we had Spanish in yep. us. You know, there's 300 years Spain conquered the Philippines.
Right.
So they just made this new Asian
right.
called the Filipinos.
So let me ask you this.
Okay.
Is there any Polynesian in the Philippines?
I'm pretty sure there is. Because we're a melting pot of everything also.
I feel like it, dude. Like, man.
We're like 1,000 islands put together.
Yeah.
And we call it the Philippines. And it sits like 2 hours away from Japan.
Yeah.
And then Spain just came and just had a party for like 300 years.
Oh, they were like, oh my yeah. God, they're fucking beautiful.
They're like, hey, we just came from Trinidad.
Yeah, exactly.
We need to make something with about 13%. You got it?
Yeah.
Play it. I want to, because it's got to go with this suit. Nobody. This is what you listen to when you wear this suit. Romney, am I right?
No, you know what, man?
Hit that high note.
So,
hey, ooh, nice.
I want to know what turned you on.
Oh, nice.
Come on.
Nice.
Come on.
Here we go.
I think all the ladies are listening right now. We got Romney Malco in here. Almost Christmas, November 11th. That's today.
Hey, what's up, girl? How you doing?
Oh, speak no, that
it's
game.
Me. You know it's me, girl, for Christmas. What you wearing, girl?
Ooh.
Oh, my music is too loud?
Your music's too loud. Turn it down just a tad. I love your suit.
You turn it down. I'm trying to turn it up, girl.
Well, you are turning it up, but just can you turn it down so you can turn it up?
Look, don't be a bitch about the shit, no.
Hey, look, my dad's in the other room. Seriously.
What's he doing?
That's when music was music. I keep saying that.
Yo, you know, I got to be real. I wasn't a huge R&B fan.
No
but
way.
There were artists like this
mm-hmm.
that you had to respect.
Yeah.
Because it was good universal friggin' music.
Yeah, man.
100%.
100%.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I'm a little older. I come from a different generation. So I've had different generations of R&B.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard once you've heard that authentic R&B to make that transformation. But there were people like Joe who even, I don't know if you've even heard like Joe make remakes of like, you know, Adele and stuff like that.
Mm.
Just off the chain.
All those cats right there, yeah. Just like nonstop soul.
I agree. She knows I went to my Quiet Storm voice.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
I like the Quiet Storm voice. Yeah. Hey, girl.
Yeah.
How you doing?
So tonight's topic, I'd like to know, is it okay or is it not okay?
We're going to take callers right now.
To kiss and tell.
Hello.
Hey.
Hi.
Hi, this is Romney Malco. You've just tuned into.
Romney, I just want to tell you I'm a huge fan and I can't believe you're wearing a green suit.
All right.
Love it when you wear green.
All right. Well, you know, baby, that represents the money.
Oh, my God. Green I love money.
It's also the color of fertility. What's up?
Oh, my God. You're so fertile. I can hear it in your voice.
Oh, yeah. You see that?
Oh.
You're very intuitive. I'd like to know a little bit more about you. Just hold on. I'm going to put you online, too.
Oh, please don't hold me. I've been waiting.
They would put them on hold. They didn't care. That's when DJs were running things.
Oh, they were. Oh, dude.
Before SiriusXM.
Yeah, yo, that's when DJs was putting you on hold to get your number off air.
Yes.
You sound sexy, girl. You got any pictures? What you look like?
I need you to mail that picture
exactly.
to me.
I need you to, yeah, for
I
real.
Need you to take a picture, develop it, and then mail it.
Put it in things.
Yeah.
Where can I meet you?
Where can I meet you?
I don't know. What do you look like? It don't matter.
Don't worry about it.
You know it.
You get free tickets to any show if you date me.
Right. Yo, and you know what's mad funny as you say that? I remember there being a show, was it on 102, when 102 was an R&B thing?
Okay.
And this dude, I forgot his name, was like Theo or something.
Theo!
Like
he was Korean!
Dude, I know. That shocked the shit out of me.
That shocked
the coolest.
Everybody!
When he ended up on MTV, I was like,
what?
It's a buff Asian dude?
Yeah.
Wow.
Buff Asian dude.
Shocking.
For years, everyone thought it was a black man.
Shocks.
Hey, girl. It's Theo.
Yeah, boy.
Yeah. Theo. I don't even know his last name.
Dude, I can't remember. I thought it was just Theo. I really
Theo.
Thought.
Hey, Kamsahamnida. What were your favorite things growing up? Like, what were you into before you got into acting?
Before I got into acting, I thought I was going to be a professional baseball player.
You good at the? Of course, I was. Trinidad. That's the Trinidad in you.
You know, Trinidad is big on soccer.
Really?
Right? They're big on soccer and they're big on cricket. Cricket on soccer.
Okay, cricket's right. Nothing. Don't ever say that out loud again.
I know. My dad would insist that we played. He made everybody in my neighborhood play. Even when we moved to Texas, he made people play. But I was big on that. I loved fishing and I loved music. I like, you know, I heard Rapper's Delight. My dad bought it home. We heard Rapper's Delight. And I was like, from that point forward, I was going to be a rapper.
Really?
I blame.
Do you think you could be the best hype man of all time? Do you think you could pull it like this? Play it real quick, Nick. We got to drop the almost Christmas spirit right now. Uh-oh. What?
Ho!
Hey! When I say almost, you say Christmas. Almost
Christmas.
Almost
Christmas.
When I say November, you say 11. November!
11!
Okay, stop. See, I'm not that good. You see how I messed up? I'm not good.
When I say November, you say 11.
November 11.
That was it.
Okay.
Well, you know, here, look. I'm not a good hype man.
I'm not.
And the reason, you weren't bad. That was actually, you got the energy.
I how much you want to bet people know that the movie's out tonight?
That's a fact.
You're welcome.
And listen, you know you pissed off because of the election either way.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't matter who wins, you're still going to be pissed off.
Yes.
So might as well just, you know what, engage in some escapism.
Listen.
Give yourself a chance to laugh, right?
And it's November 11th. It's almost Christmas. It makes sense for you to go right now.
Tonight?
Ooh.
Oh, right? Okay.
He hit that tonight.
All right, y'all.
I'm telling you right now, I got Romney Malco in the studio, and I'm just happy like a little kid right now. You're an inspiration to everybody.
Thank you.
Actor that's coming to Hollywood is trying to take your crown.
Thank you. You know.
So be prepared, son.
I don't know if I have a crown. Like, in reality, you know what I'm saying? I just kind of feel like, when you just do your lane, you know,
I just
do my lane. And like, what I aspire to from an art, look, I understand what the obvious goals are. Everybody wants to blow up and be the big star, but that's not really my thing. I'm really trying to be a dude in the game who actually has a voice, who actually says something that doesn't just serve me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I don't see the point of it unless you're serving your community. You know? And so for me, a lot of it comes from that place. So I'm more obsessed with becoming significant.
Wow, that's amazing.
Than I am with becoming famous.
And that's what everyone should always listen to. It's like, stay in your lane and stop worrying about the stuff that's happening off to like the carpool lane and the slow lane.
Right, exactly.
Stay in your lane and I guarantee you'll get there much quicker.
Right.
Because that's what happens. People start to look off to the side and go, oh, I need to get there.
Yeah, exactly. But then that's the problem, is that you then veer off from what's more than likely authentic to you. Stay in your lane It doesn't mean that there's a caste system and it means you should only stay within this tax bracket.
Yeah.
No, stay in your lane just basically means continuously doing what is most authentic to you. And you should constantly be on a quest for that, because in my opinion, it constantly changes as you evolve as a human being.
Yes.
If it's not changing, you're probably stuck in a high school heyday and, you know, chasing high school pussy, which is not a good look. You know,
that's a bad look.
It is a terrible look.
That is a horrible look.
You know, so, you know, You know, for me in Hollywood, look, in fact, Nick, can I tell you a quick story?
Yeah. Wait. Can we go to a break real quick? And we're right back with Romney Malco.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
And we're back with Romney Malco.
Hey.
Almost Christmas. Hey. Romney Malco's in the studio. I'm telling you right now, it's down to go to the movies. Watch his new one called Almost Christmas, November 11th. And that's all I got to say. Joe Coy, today. I didn't rap too much, but that's what I got to say. Say, he's from Trinidad, and 13% of something else. Come on.
Yo, press that. Let's just put the mixtape out right now.
I mean, for real.
Go ahead, compress it a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Just put the title on it. We're going to do an album cover when we get out of here.
For real. Like Drake. Really?
I know, dude.
I want to start beef with Drake and Meek right now. Mm. There ain't nothing like this. That was off the top,
Yo, that's what I call a freestyle. Remember those days?
Yo. I remember it. It happened just now.
That's what I'm saying. You bring it back.
What?
You bring it back. But, what was I saying?
I'm about to tell you a story.
I'm about to tell you a story. Well, you just reminded me of another story. When I went to jail.
Oh.
And I was beatboxing and everybody was rapping to the beatboxing.
Stop.
Oh, it was crazy.
You were killing it in the cell.
Beatboxing, everybody. I never forget this one rapper named Money T. There's a few dudes in there, but yeah. And then there was this one dude that was giving me that crazy look. Buff dude. Looked like a better looking Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
But he was looking at me like... Every time I beatbox, he give me this look, and these eyes look crazy, and I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah, it reminded you that you were in jail still.
Exactly.
Like, and you started beatboxing, it took you away. You're like, hey, exactly. We're at a party. And then he looked at you like, I'm still in jail.
Right.
Huh?
And I didn't know if the beatboxing was getting on his nerves or what.
Yeah.
We were in a day room with, like, 73 people. So then they eventually separate you, because the way you go to court in county jail, at least the way that I went to jail in county jail, was they put, like, 12 of you in a day, you know, in a cell, and then they just come by and ask you how you plead. No contest, not guilty. No contest, not guilty.
Yeah.
And then they just move on to the next cell of 12 people.
Yeah.
And I ended up in the cell with him and a couple of the rappers. And they were like, yo, do this beat for me now. Give me, you got the more bounce beat? Give me the more bounce beat.
Yeah, more bounce.
And I'm like, but in my head, I'm like, it's probably going to piss this dude off if I go, boom, more bounce. So I'm like, let me just be quiet. Like, and they started pushing, so I started doing it. I do a different beat,
Yeah.
And then one dude wanted me to give him like a gangster beat, and I slowed it down. So it was like,
Oh, yeah.
And that buff ass Mike Tyson dude goes, hey, homie, hold it right there. Right there. Just like that. And started singing his fucking ass off.
Nah.
It was angelic.
Do you remember the song?
I don't. I really think he was singing original songs.
Really?
Yeah, dude was musically talented to no end. And this whole time he was just waiting for that minute to get in and do his thing.
Yeah. And then he was just looking at you like, you know I can eat your butt, right? At any given time, I'll eat your butt.
All through the whole thing, I'm being real. Like, that look he was giving me, man, it was giving me chills, dude. Now, trying to be cool. Because I feel like the minute you show fear, you're going to be attacked. It's like, you know, like dog courage. You give a dog courage when you show it that it's fear.
Yeah.
Same with sharks. We diving out in Puerto Rico. And the minute you start acting like you're in a panic, sharks start, feeding off of your energy.
Yeah.
So I was in there with a shark. I was in a tank with a shark. And I was like, dude, I'm not showing this dude that I'm scared. Mm-hmm. But Lord have mercy.
You were scared.
I was so happy.
That is the worst person to die to.
I agree.
With the high-pitched voice. Oh, with the angelic voice.
Take that.
Take it.
Death by fucking. Take it. You're dead to me. You're going to be dead soon, motherfucker.
How does it feel to beatbox now?
Nice suit. Who wears that? Color? Who?
A colored man. Hey. No. But no, really, he was like, you know, he was hard looking, but he was cool as hell.
Your jail days. We don't want to talk about your jail days.
Okay, right. That's right.
We want to talk about what's happening now.
It was only like 4 or 5 days. But I was in there. But I was in there, man.
Almost Christmas, November 11th, Romney Malco. You've seen him in everything, you guys. You know where to go. RomneyMalco.com, almostchristmasmovie.com. Yeah. And if you want to go to Twitter, it's Uncle Romney. And then, of course, this is my favorite, TijuanaJackson.com.
Yeah, you go there. If you go to that, if you just go to Prison Logic or PrisonLogic.com, if you go there, you get lots of life coaching advice, just great videos that are just coming from an ex-convict, and it's so funny. I mean, it's not because it's me. It really is, but it's like really raw funny, you know, dude saying crazy ass shit, you know? He's like, you know.
Do it. I'll do it with you.
He walks on stage with a cigarette. They tell him there's no smoke, and he goes, it's menthol, and continues to smoke, right? And he's like, by a show of hands, who here believes that they are living a dream? Okay, show of hands. Okay, good, good. Oh, good, good. Okay, keep your hands up. Keep your hands up. Keep them up. Good, okay. By another show of hands, who here believes that they want more? More love, more respect, more autonomy, more control, more sex, more happiness? Okay, good. Now, you can put your hands down, but people who believe they're living the dream should keep their hands up. Okay. And I want everybody in here to take a look at these motherfuckers, because they're either liars or show-offs, and I advise you not to fucks with them after the show. You can put your hands down now. Now, what if I told you, you know, that the reason you are yet to live up to your full potential is because of one moment? One moment has reduced you to a nigga wanting a champagne lifestyle with Bud Light pockets. I remember my one moment like the shit happened yesterday. It's the reason I'm a life coach. Late one night, my uncle tried to put his finger in my asshole while I was asleep, but I caught him. Took about 7 hours of surgery to get my foot out his fucking larynx. To this day, when that nigga talk, he sound like, what's the name of the big old buff dude with the raspy voice that won the Grammy? The big strong nigga back in the
90s. Michael Clark Duncan?
No. He had a raspy voice. He wore afro. Big strong. Looked like he worked out. Macy Gray. He sound like that nigga. Now, would you believe that my so-called uncle had the nerve to press charges on me? He gonna tell the judge that I assaulted him. This nigga sitting in the courtroom, he got tomato skin and corn resin in his fucking fingernails, and the judge gonna find me guilty, huh? And to make matters worse, my mama took sides with him. Now, see, that's the part I didn't expect, man, because me and my mama was closer than the thigh zone precious. You heard me? So, my uncle, he come home from the hospital with bandages around his neck looking like Michael Jackson Thriller. I forgot.
Dude, that is hysterical.
Thank you, man.
Do you bring that on stage?
You know what? I did. I went to New York and I did some sets and I was like, oh, wow, I have something.
What, really?
It would be just complete silence to people erupting in laughter and then people wanting to consult with TJ after the show because they didn't know that TJ was me because I wear these prosthetic teeth.
Yeah.
So it's a little off. You know?
Yeah.
And just a whole.
You were just going up.
Yeah, they'd introduce me and say, you know, we like to do something special and different at our, you know, at our club. We found a life coach that we think is, you know, poignant, but at the same time funny. And I think it fits in well with what we do here at whatever the comedy club was. And I just go up and rock that and people be like, bawling. And the way I was taught was to write 10-minute sets.
Yeah.
And so I wrote like an hour and a half worth of 10-minute sets, you know, quotes that are just unfucking real. Yeah. He's like, you know, man, that Ellen DeGeneres, man, is nice with that short hair, man. You know what they say, nigga, you look like a boy, you gonna get fucked like a boy, heard me?
God.
You know what I'm saying? He'd be like, you know, man, Henry David Thoreau, one of my favorite quotes is, you know, being is the best explainer. Being is the great explainer. Now, what does that mean? It means that you have to be more demonstrative, right? It's better to be demonstrative. Talking ain't gonna get you shit. And if you fuck around and follow that clause right there, you're gonna end up and get a lot of fucking peekaboos. You're gonna probably get more peekaboos than I got when I was in prison. I got a lot of fucking peekaboos.
Mr. Jackson.
Yeah.
What is a peekaboo?
You don't know what a fucking peekaboo is? How old is you? Well, you don't know a peekaboo, man, in prison. When you really want to humiliate a motherfucker, you push your dick between your legs, make him blow you from the back. This way, when you come, you can shit in his face. You know what I'm saying? It's called a peekaboo. But anyway, Henry David Thoreau, like I said, man, that quote is deep, man, and we have to be more demonstrative and stop talking about this shit and go out and get it. Heard me?
I like the fact that he said, heard me.
Yeah,
he said, like anyone would lead that conversation. I was scared from the beginning. You think I didn't hear it?
Yeah, I trailed off in the middle someplace.
Not once would everyone go, you know what, this is a boring conversation.
You know what I'm saying? My conversation elevated like giraffe pussy, heard me? Real nigga shit, nigga. Deep like octopussy and elevated like giraffe pussy. It's real nigga shit.
Oh, man.
Oh, is it too raw for your show? I'm sorry.
Hey, the sign says clean show.
Oh, it does? But,
yeah, who cares?
Wait.
Who really cares at this point?
I got this notice.
What did it say?
I don't know what that says, but
This is not a clean show. I think that sign is for the Adam Carolla show.
No, that's mine. But it's fine. Who cares?
I'm sorry.
Hey, who cares?
I am curious who gave you that.
Yeah.
Someone walked.
Was he tall? If that was Gary, I'm going
to. No, I don't think he did. Dude, you are so damn multi-talented. It's pathetic.
Man, thank you, dude. Thank you.
You are what they call it. That's that Rat Pack era.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, thank
like,
you.
Like my boy Sammy, Sammy Davis Jr. and Frank Sinatra, that, like they did all of it.
Yeah.
They did all of it.
It's true.
Yeah, yeah, you need a singer? I can sing.
Yeah, you know what though, man?
I can act. I can tap too. You know what I mean?
Right, but I feel like I came from that era. You know, I'm a little older, so I feel like I came from that era of like when pop music, you know, wasn't as, it was different. It was like, you know, we had Prince, we had Michael Jackson, but we had Billy Joel, we had Kool in the Gang,
yeah.
We had, you know, so we had like this really diverse group of people who really did, you know, they honed in on different talents,
mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And that was your influence.
Exactly.
Those were your influences. So
indirectly, they influenced you too. That's what's crazy about it. And then, it feels like the era that we came up with, yeah. No disrespect of the kids that are coming up now, but I'm just saying like back then, I felt like all of them could be actors if they wanted to be. And yeah. all of them were singing. It was just like look at Will Smith. He came from that era.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Will
he was
Smith
a party starter. He was a dramatic actor. It was like.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like
good
Jamie
point.
Jamie Foxx went from acting to.
Good
to,
point.
To kill it singing.
Convincingly. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he can sing his ass off. He can, you know.
Stand up, crush the stage. Like.
Yeah.
You're in that same pack, man.
Thank you, man.
You were from that era. Like
yeah.
I could see it. Like you're doing everything.
But you know what's scary? What the thing about me is different between like those guys and you and me is I'm actually afraid. I actually genuinely by nature am a very shy guy. I'm a Scorpio, so I am like a social introvert.
Mm.
So I can be very social, but the reality is that I'm not comfortable getting up in front of a crowd and doing what you guys do. I'm not comfortable hosting a show for any network. I don't know. I'm just genuinely terrified.
But you can stand behind a camera and know that it's going to about 20 million people.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's the thing because we get to cut, edit, fix,
yeah.
omit.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Where you guys are live and bam.
Yeah.
And I love that. When I lived in New York, one of my favorite things to do was to go see not comedy shows, but people working through. Something that was going to be a comedy show.
Yes.
You know? So you could go to UCB or something and sit and watch Sarah Silverman just work out some material with the papers and the notes on her phone and in her hand.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
You grew up in Long Beach, you said?
Well, you know, I didn't grow up in Long Beach. I was born in Brooklyn.
Yeah, you were born in Brooklyn.
I lived in Trinidad and Tobago and Brooklyn and Queens until I was about 14.
Okay.
And then I moved to Texas. I lived in Texas, and then I joined the military, the Marine Corps, which took me to California. And then I lived in California. California
what
is
year?
My... 87 to 91 is when I would join the military, but
okay.
that's what took me to California. Yeah.
Okay. And then you got to Cali right around 90?
No, I got to Cali in 87 because I was stationed in Camp Pendleton.
Okay.
Right? We did boot camp and everything in Camp Pendleton. I came back to Texas, got my shit, moved back to California, and pursued my record deal, signed my record deal. And even though
See, how do you sneak that in here?
Oh, I thought...
No, you didn't say that.
Well, you know...
Come on, Romney. Don't just sneak in... Your publicist is like, we got to wrap this up.
Okay.
We got 2 minutes. Can I get 2 minutes?
Yeah, go ahead. Do it.
Don't just sneak in my record deal, man.
Oh, yeah. I had a number one hit in the country called Victim of the Ghetto. You can look it up anytime.
Come on,
bro. Real talk, yeah. It was a number one rap single in the frigging country. It's called Victim of the Ghetto. It came out right around the time of the L.A. riots.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a beast of a little cut.
Yes.
And we toured all over the place with that. And then after that, I decided I was going to start an internet business because my career was washed up after that one hit. Started an internet business. I thought I'd never do entertainment again. The internet business was doing fucking amazing. It taught me so much about business.
Yeah.
It was 97. It was prime. Like, the people who were using the internet were still kind of naive.
Yeah.
I was on there selling my ass off.
You were on it. You're already ahead of it, right?
Exactly. Way ahead of it. And then, you know, and then eventually acting somehow came about. And I was like, you gotta be kidding me.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah.
You're an amazing person.
No, thank you.
Your energy is huge.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it,
bro.
Yours
too. I've been feeding off you since the minute you walked in. And God bless you with everything that's happened in your career.
Thank you.
Almost Christmas, November 11th.
Yep.
Which is today.
It is today. You should go out. And I just want to say one thing. It's just sometimes you hear someone say something and you get inspired. So when I walked in the room, Joe, you know, he gave me some great news, some great things that are happening in his career because of some sacrifices that he chose to make on behalf of himself.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm excited by you, but I was very inspired too. And I just wanted to make a point that ultimately this is what it boils down to is that I have learned, and you kind of really reminded me of this because I've been doing this crowdfunding campaign for Prison Logic.
Yeah.
I was reminded that I didn't know what the hell I was doing when I did Prison Logic. When I went in to do a crowdfunding campaign, it's a heck of a lot more business and it really is a lot more work than you think. But I postponed this thing for 2 years. And when I finally got into doing it, what happened that was so interesting is that I tapped into a level of resources within me that I didn't even know existed. So all this time I was waiting, I was wasting time. When I actually started doing it, it's like I tapped into another part of my brain.
Yeah, yeah.
And all of a sudden I became a lot more resourceful. I became a lot more tenacious. And the connections and the opportunities and the blessings began to present themselves after I had committed myself to doing the deed, which is exactly what you explained to me when I first walked in here that we can't quite talk about yet. But believe me, he will be announcing it shortly. And Joey will be announcing it shortly, but I just wanted to, and it's not about me, it's about him, but I'm just saying you inspired me to bring that up. Whoever you are out there, I'm telling you, waiting is a waste of time.
Yeah, man.
You don't know what you're capable of until you actually subject yourself to the battlefield.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden you turn into the Terminator when you're there.
Exactly.
But you won't know until you put yourself there. So if you're thinking about something or there's something you want to do, I am promising you that you're going to surprise yourself once you put yourself on the battlefield.
Yes.
Sideline hustle doesn't cut it.
You can think about it all day, but you can do it your whole life if you try.
Exactly, yo. And what you did and what you've pulled off, and I'm waiting for you to ink this deal so that you can tell everybody else about the shit.
Man, thank
you. It's going to inspire a bunch of people and inspired me to say that before I left.
Dude, I love you, Romney.
Thank you, bro.
Romney Malco, you guys, please go watch this. I don't need to say please. Mm-hmm. You're going to go see it because he's a genius and he's great at his craft. Almost Christmas is out today, November 11th, and go watch it two or three more times.
Don't
bootleg it. Don't do any of that stuff. Right. Get it right now. The guy is a phenomenal actor and he's given you a library of great hits.
Yes.
And I love you for coming here, man.
Thank you. And Tijuana Jackson would just like to tell everybody, life, you know, life is like a vending machine, homie. It's full of change.
Yes! That was deep. Can we play out? Let's play out, man. Go. Yo. Romney Malco, yo. It's a good day. Koi Pond, we're out.
That's right. And all these bodies look like